immigration, and we'll have the rest of the hour.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Today. Have visitors with us today. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you can come back and be with us again. Last week we started a series of lessons on the subject of one another, and this will be a series that's looking at how this phrase is used in the Bible. Last week we talked about being members of one another. We looked at Romans chapter 12, where Paul declares that we are members one another, and the idea of being members of one another means that we are connected. And that certainly should be true of congregations where members are connected with one another, and they know one another, and that in fact much of the New Testament is written to churches. It's written to individual churches for instruction on how members ought to interact with one another in the relationship that we have. Many times people feel like they are independent, and the word independence and being independent of other people seems to be a popular thing today. And certainly we are in a period of time where people are distancing from one another, and most of us don't like that. You know, it's something that is upsetting to us. It's something that's different. But you know, there may be a small subset that kind of likes it, you know, that they never liked interacting with anybody in the first place. And so this is something that is helpful to them, because they get to do what they always wanted to do anyway, and that's be alone. Well, the scriptures talk about being together, about being members of one another, and it's a very important subject that we see in the scriptures. So as you see on the screen here, these are the subjects that we'll be looking at as we go through this study. We've talked about last week, members of one another. Today, we want to talk about bearing with one another. You already had to bear with me as I got my computer set up here because I had a little technology problem this morning. But hopefully that's behind me now. But when we talk about bearing with one another, you may be internally rolling your eyes because, or externally, at somebody that you know that you have to bear with. As soon as I said bearing with one another, maybe somebody popped into your head as to who that fits with in your life. Do you know how annoying people are? Well, you know, if you're on social media, you can certainly get annoyed. I don't know how many times I tell Jarell, I just don't need to read this. I don't need to read these things, but I keep reading it. And so we see things that bother us, that annoy us, and certainly in the workplace and out in the world, you know, we get annoyed by things. You see what people do. They're walking the wrong way in the grocery store. This person, the way they talk really, really grates on my nerves, or this person really invades my personal space, and we're really aware of that today. Or he or she is so inconsiderate and thoughtless and never thanks anybody for things, and that person is like hugging a porcupine. Or that person will never quit talking. So there's things that bother people. And when we think about these things and look at what the scriptures tell us, the scriptures are going to tell us that you may not need to get so annoyed. And I hope that as we look at this, that will be helpful to us. Like we talked about last week, we are members of one another. We are interconnected. We are interdependent. We are not independent. The household of God is a household that is a family. And when we use that word household, that's what we think about. A family that is a normal functional family is going to interact with one another in positive ways, and that's certainly what we want in the household of God. So our scripture this morning will be from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. More instruction from Paul on this subject, as we saw last week in Romans chapter 12. But Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so Paul here is addressing the Ephesian brethren, and you notice that he is describing another picture of what it means to be together in Christ. If you go back and read the first three chapters of Ephesians, you'll see that Paul was teaching Christians about the calling that they have in Christ. And Ephesians chapter 4 opens with the call for us to walk worthy of the calling to which Christ has called us. And so when we think about that, we think about the great relationship that we have with God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We just talked about that with when we partook of the Lord's Supper. And we think about the relationship that we have with God because of Christ, and the relationship that we have with one another. And when we think about the blessing of being one of God's children, Paul is saying you need to act like it. You need to act like a Christian. You need to act worthy and walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And so you consider what this looks like. He tells us what it looks like. How are we to walk worthy? What does that mean? Well, he tells us that you are going to do this by being humble and being gentle and being patient and bearing with one another in love. A couple of other translations read this a little bit differently when it talks about bearing with one another. New American Standard says showing tolerance for one another in love. Another translation says making allowance for each other's faults. So the Greek word here means to endure or to put up with. To put up with difficult people or difficult circumstances. One commentary says that the word means to put up with something annoying or something harmful. And the problem is that sometimes when we think about what we have to put up with, we think, I don't want to put up with that. I shouldn't have to put up with that. I should not have to do this. I don't have to tolerate this. And how many times do we hear that phrase used today? And we think, we have to tolerate a lot. Well, maybe we do. But what Paul is saying is, you need to. You shouldn't be saying, I don't have to tolerate this. Paul said, no, you do have to tolerate. And of course, you know, there's limits as to what you tolerate. And I think that's, you know, obvious to what we see in the Scriptures. You're not going to tolerate sin in the midst of you and things like that. But things that are annoying, that are not sin, you need to you tolerate those things. You need to bear with one another. You're to put up with each other. You need to be patient with one another. And you may hear this as, well, you know, Randy, I'm already doing that all the time. I put up with my parents. I put up with my kids. I put up with the brethren. I put up with a lot. I put up with my neighbor. I put up with my spouse. I put up with my boss. But are we really enduring and tolerating one another the way God said to? We might be begrudgingly be putting up with things, but really, are we doing it with as God told us? Read what he says again and notice how we are supposed to put up with each other. He says we are to bear with one another in love. Not just to grit your teeth and put up with one another, but you're to put up with each other in love. And so what does that mean? When we put up with each other without love, what happens? The result is grudges. And you know, Jarrell and I have been watching some reruns of Everybody Loves Raymond. And in fact, one of the episodes that was on this morning was when Amy is upset at Robert about a problem with their wedding invitation getting messed up. But she forgives him, and the rest of the family tells him, you're not supposed to forgive him this quick. You're supposed to hold this over him for the rest of his life. And that's the way people interact sometimes, isn't it? How do they bear with one another? With grudges, with hatefulness. And that's not the picture that we have here. Can you make bearing with one another in love consistent with grudges? Those two things don't go together, do they? Bear with one another and hold grudges, but hold grudges with love. That doesn't make sense. And putting up with each other in love looks different than what we normally do sometimes. Our failure to bear with one another in love is why there's strife in relationships. And you know, marriages fail and churches split, and we need to understand, and I think it goes without saying, really, that we are going to have a life where people are going to irritate us. And I know that this is going to be really hard for you to imagine, but sometimes I irritate people. I know that's really hard to imagine. But also hard to imagine is that maybe you irritate, you know, people too. And we all do. People put up with us. We put up with other people. And we need to consider the problem that is us and look at ourselves. Maybe you need to imagine, how can I imagine living with myself? Can you imagine being around you all the time with all of all your quirks? And so we need to not have unreasonable expectations of others. You know, sometimes if you're around another couple and you see the way that they interact and you see their quirks and idiosyncrasies and you're not really used to being around them, and you think in your mind, I don't know if I could be around that all the time. But you know those two people that love each other? You know, they have learned to maybe overlook some of those things that you see are quirky. And over time, that's something that is not a big deal to them. And so sometimes we're just really, really picky, and we get really, really annoyed very, very easily. And so we don't need to live with those kind of expectations. Paul tells us how it is that we need to handle one another, that we are to bear with one another in love. And what this means is you're not going to cease to love somebody just because you've known them long enough that now you can see some faults. My dad used to use the illustration of, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and we've all heard that phrase before. What does that mean? Is it easier to like somebody or love somebody that you don't know? Because you haven't been around them long enough to learn their faults. But you know, as you get to know somebody, then you start to see the cracks. You start to see the problems. And we are to bear with one another in love. This is talking to people that have a relationship together. Ephesian brethren have a relationship together, and they're not to cease loving one another because somebody else has a fault, or that somebody does something irritating, whether it's intentional or unintentional. You need to handle that with love. The problem is that many times when we get irritated, we want to irritate back. Then the perfect solution to irritating people is just to be irritating, right? No, the perfect solution that God gives us here is to bear with one another in love. You don't return irritation with something negative, but you return love. Bearing with one another in love means that you continue to love one another, and that should be a two-way street. And realize that they are putting up with you just as much as you may be putting up with them. The body of Christ is a place where we should have encouragement. And people make mistakes, and people need to be able to confess sin to one another. They need to be able to tell one another when they are out of step with the Word of God. Because our goal is to go to heaven together. And the illustration has been used, you know, too many times, that the church is the only army that shoots its own wounded. And that's not a good commentary on the body of Christ. Because we shouldn't be shooting our own wounded. We should be trying to help those that are wounded with sin, to repair them and get them back in the right relationship with God and with their brethren. So it's terrible when children of God bear grudges and hurts toward each other. And so this happens over time, where people make mistakes, they do hurtful things, or they say the wrong thing at the wrong time. And who has not done that in the past? You know, I talk about my father, you know, quite a bit, and he was a wonderful preacher, and he was very zealous and hardworking, and always studying and always working with other people. But sometimes he had the foot and mouth disease, where he would say something that was sarcastic, and so you see where I get that from. But he said things that he thought were funny that ended up being hurtful, and really not thinking. Of course, my mom was always there to get him in line. But we do that with each other, don't we? And so we may say something that's taken the wrong way, or was not kind, or was downright hurtful. And when we bear with one another in love, we help each other get over those bumps in our relationships, because we're all going to make mistakes and do hurtful things and say or do the wrong thing at the wrong time. And we bear with one another in love. And the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that, what does love do? It bears all things. In 1 Corinthians 13, It bears all things. What else did he say about love? It does not keep a record of wrongs. And so, you know, the Barone family and Everybody Loves Raymond, given the advice is you need to keep track of these things so you can hold them over somebody else in the future. Well, you know, everybody laughs at that show, and you know, sometimes the show is funny, sometimes it's just an example of the most dysfunctional family ever. But you look at that kind of relationship that they have, well, they're keeping a record of wrong. They're doing exactly what Paul says not to do. When has that ever been a good policy for a family or for a relationship or a husband and wife or for Christians to keep a little book? And I've never come across anybody that actually wrote those things down, but they're making mental note of them in their head of, okay, here's, you know, Randy said something that he shouldn't have said there. He made a mistake here. He misspelled the word in the bulletin. And so they've got a list of the things that Randy's done wrong, and so Randy ever gets too uppity, you know, we can, you know, turn to that page. And we certainly see that in relationships and family relationships that go completely against what Paul says. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not resentful and vengeful. And so when we look at this term, one another, bearing with one another, there's probably a lot of work that many of us can do in this area. So what are some keys for bearing with one another in love? How can we do that and show that love for one another? Looking again here at Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, you see that there are three character traits that Paul says are going to be needed for us to do this. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, and patience. And so there's three things that are going to be necessary for you to do this, to bear with one another in love. And certainly this is not by accident. Paul said the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. He said, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. So you see this is a common theme in Paul's letters. He's instructing people on how to get along with one another. And so when we see that that's not always, you know, being embodied by Christians today, it, you know, Paul is addressing things that they needed too back then. And so you see these keys for bearing with one another. First of all, humility. Practice humility. How do you do that? Well, you quit thinking about yourself. And do not think about yourself first and only about yourself. And it's really hard to bear with one another if all we are doing is thinking about how everything affects us and how irritated I am by everyone. Second, we need to have gentleness. And the Colossian letter says that we are to have to show kindness and have compassionate hearts. And so the idea of gentleness or meekness is to have consideration for others and to be submissive toward others and have courtesy toward others. And not seeking to have our way all the time. And, you know, we are not seeking for ourselves, which is very easy to do. So not be selfish. Finally, we need to have patience, which is the ideal of having restraint or self-restraint. That you're not hasty. You know, long suffering means what it sounds like it means, that you're going to suffer long. And so be patient with each other's weaknesses. There's no one that's perfect or even close to perfect, and it's amazing sometimes how we have unreasonable expectations of others and we don't have those same expectations of ourselves. You know, in the work environment, sometimes it may be that somebody has, has not been as detail-oriented as they needed to be, or there's some step that they left out. And you just roll your eyes and think, how could they do that? That's so basic, they shouldn't have. And you get so critical and want to write an email and copy everybody on it so they know what was left out. And then you turn around and do the same thing yourself or do something similar. Your vitriol is so much less, when it comes to looking at your own fault or your own mistake. And of course you understand, it's just something I got in a hurry and didn't do. And so you don't have the same attitude toward yourself that you do with others. And that's a very common thing. Consider what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When we look at the New Testament, whose name is on most of the letters? It's Paul. When you think of who is, if somebody asks you, who's the number one apostle that had the most influence on the church in the first century? What we have recorded would seem to say that Paul had a tremendous amount of influence. Look, he brought the gospel to the Gentiles, and he is helping with problems in different churches. And so, what would Paul have on his business card? He'd have all these chief apostle logos and things. He's in the president's club, and he's number one. Well, he said he's number one, but he said he's the chief sinner. He said Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You never get the idea that Paul saw himself as anything else, that he was puffed up in the things that he was doing. He said that I am the worst of sinners. And so why did he do this? Was he just walking around beating himself up all the time, telling him I'm just a horrible person? No, but by seeing himself as the chief of sinners, he says that helps me to understand the love and grace of God that who put me in this position. That Christ came to save sinners, and he saved a big one. He saved me. And we are all sinners. And sometimes we have the attitude, look around the world. I'm really not that bad. We have this attitude, I'm not really that bad, or I'm not as bad as this person or this type of person. Paul doesn't say that. Paul doesn't start out and say, back in the past, I did these things. But if you understood my background and understood, what I knew at the time, I was doing it with a good conscience. So you can't really hold that against me. And, I just did what I knew was right at the time. You don't see Paul making that kind of excuse. Although all the things that I just said, I think you could probably truthfully say about Paul that he was doing what he was doing what he did in good conscience. But it was wrong, and he realizes that he is where he is because of God. He was the chief. He is the chief of sinners. He received mercy. So we must end this thought that, I'm not that bad. Paul openly declares that he is not only not perfect, but the chief of sinners who received mercy. We hear the phrase often, don't forget where you came from, and Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't forget who he is. He is the worst of sinners who received mercy. That's the way he describes himself. And so, why am I talking about that? Why does that have to do with bearing with one another? Probably a lot more helpful to Paul and to deal with others when he has a proper view of himself. when he doesn't have an overinflated view of his own importance, he is able to show gentleness and humility and talk about bearing with one another. It's a lot easier for him to do that when he has the proper view of himself and bear with those others who also have sins and weaknesses just as he did. And it also is a great example of the great patience that God showed toward him and that Christ shows toward us. Let's realize that other people show patience towards you and me in love, and we need to bear with one another in love. So when people say the wrong thing to you, you know, you just need to let that roll off your back. Or when you've said the wrong thing to others and people are unkind to you in return, you need to realize that you can't respond to unkind things with other unkind things. When others are irritating, you just have to let it go. The important thing that we realize here is that we can do what we need to do, bearing with one another in love, by looking to Jesus and realizing what He did for us in letting go of our sins. And so let's use the example that Paul gave and the attitude that Paul had and his instruction to others to bear with one another. And I firmly believe that Paul could do that because Paul had not an uppity thought about himself. And he was thinking about himself in the right way and knew that he was nothing without the grace of God. And so that helps us greatly when we try to do what Paul told us to do in bearing with one another in love. Hope this will be useful to you. It's something that I think is drastically and painfully needed because this world right now seems to be filled with people that are being unkind. Hurtful things are said and drastic actions are taken just because people disagree with one another. And this is, we don't need to be part of that problem. We need to bear with one another in a righteous way. So let's think on these things. If you're subject to the invitation anyway today, I want to respond to the gospel of Christ. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Walking alone at even, hearing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcoming silver star.
God for coming out to be with us this morning. And Brother Brandy. Also, thank you to the visitors for coming out. We enjoyed having your company this morning as we worship together. And as most of you know, we will have our worship, our Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on our Christmas Day. Is there anything you may need to announce?
I have two things I'll close out. Just two things before we leave. One, I'd like to remind the congregation that we have kind of put in place the standards for our group, because we want to make sure that we separate from one another when we don't have our masks on, and try to be with your families. And then when we're even up and around, we'll wear our masks together so that we can comply with the ordinance that's been given from the governor, but also just simply to protect ourselves at this point. I think it's done a lot of good, and our congregation has been well protected, so we appreciate that and your participation. I want to make sure, though, that we do have separation among everybody in the congregation. If you're not with your immediate family, please make sure you try to put a few feet between you, and it's at least time to get rid of you. So we just want to make a reminder of that. And I also wanted to make a special note. Maybe you were here to say this about yourself, but I ask you if it's okay. He had a slight experience yesterday with his heart racing, and he wasn't expecting that, and he wasn't sure he got things checked out, and right now it all looks really good. But he is in front of us, a cardiologist, as we said, and so let's pray for him and make sure. I've experienced that myself, but he's at that age where you have to be really mindful of that. I'm glad he went to get it checked out, and it turned out to be okay. But it's a part of it, it really is. So let's keep him in our prayers, especially if he gets that checked out, and hopefully it's nothing. Is something that we can take that to you. Appreciate that. Appreciate you being here. If you pray for that. Do the man have anything else that you want to say before we do this? All right, let's go to God in prayer and look forward to meeting again online Wednesday and back here in person on the Lord's Day.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings we enjoy in our lives every day, for allowing us to meet together today. We are thankful for your continued care for answering our prayers. Thank you for our health, our homes, and our families. Please continue to be with those who we regularly pray for. My grandfather, Miss Amy, Miss Beth, Mr. Christie. Continue to keep us and our families safe from COVID-19, and if it is your will, in the sickness. Please continue to be with those who are traveling as well. Please continue to watch over those who are serving our country and with our leaders as they are in office. Please guide the election of our leaders so that we can have a government that allows us to feel safe and to keep our freedoms. Help us overcome our temptations, and please help keep us safe as we go throughout this coming week. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to this earth to die for the remission of our sins. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.